Hello, I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl.
Hello and welcome to the SC Ballers Q&A podcast for round 10. I am your host and coach of the Terrace Crew, Matt Ricks. Joined tonight from London, it's coach of the Casa Bonitas, Danny Boy Ricks. Danny Boy, welcome back to the SC Ballers pod.
Yeah, cheers, Matty. Love the content on the weekend over Magic Routes. Very good to see. Definite bit of FOMO over here in London. Still got to watch a lot of the games. The Sunday snap and Tuesday pod really got me back after probably a little bit of a lowly week for myself, considering all those big high scores.
Yeah, you've just kind of just been a trade, but you're still having a great season, but you're sort of been a trade or two behind each week, haven't you?
Yeah, it's hard when, you know, you've got you and C-Mac in the top 50. You're down to 36th, I believe, or in the 30s
37th,
at least.
Yep.
C-Mac, yep. 26th. Unbelievable start by you, your boys. I've had a hugely yo-yoing season this year, and I think the yo-yo is kind of just stalled at the bottom at the moment on 2.5K. So going to make some big moves this week, use my last boost, take on Drinkwater for the next two at least. And see yep. how we go.
Yeah. No, and a Magic Round was a lot of fun as well. I'm advocating. I actually had an idea this week. I reckon we should have two Magic Rounds a year and get one down to Melbourne. that's my big tip.
Oh.
It's just so much fun. The rugby league community really comes together in an amazing way, particularly Supercoach. Everyone just loves it. Just incredible. Anyway, let's get into the questions, Dan. And we're starting tonight at hooker. Plenty of hookers. Questions this week. It's really that position's weak in the sun, having been pretty irrelevant, very low scoring position this year. Caden Horsley on X, our first one comes from looking to pot up at hooker using dual 2RF hooker. Is Jazz Tavunga a genuine pod option? Are his minutes sustainable? Dan, I was pretty vocal on the pod saying that Jazz is a bit yuck, and nothing in the last couple of days has really changed my mind. Where are you on Jazz Tavunga? And then the sort of more dual 2RF hooker swing generally.
Yeah, I did have a look at Jazz, to be honest. Last couple of weeks, you know, surprisingly good output, good minutes. The big thing staring me in the face for Manly is that Gerbo has been out. So Jake Trbojevic has been out. He's been named at prop, not at his usual lock. I still think Jake Trbojevic is going to get massive minutes, and I think that's going to come off Jazz Tavunga directly. So I think it's a little bit smoke and mirrors at the moment. Like it looks good on papers for the last two, but I'm probably going to suggest to steer clear on that one, at least give it one more week. But in general, like I like the concept and I like the thinking around having a dual in that position. I think the 2RF hooker dual, I want at least one playing one for the run home and definitely enough in Kalani going for the run home as well. So I like that. And if you're going to pick up someone this week, I'd probably consider making that a second row forward hooker dual.
Yeah, we spoke at length on the Tuesday pod about the option to take an AE this week at hooker, and I stand by that. I think it's an excellent idea. Max on X also asks, is it fine to nuff at hooker? Dan, you mentioned going there. He's currently got Watson and Sandon Smith. And then Bergs also asked Sandon plus Mamazelis combo, where to next? I think everyone's in a little bit of a different position at hooker this week. If you do own Connor Watson or Mamazelis and want to sell them to free up the cash, it looks like Mamazelis is out for up to a month or more with that dislocated elbow. What would you be advocating there for a downgrade? Would you be looking at Kalani going, or would you be looking potentially to go up to a Cam McInnes, get you that solid type? He's also dual 2RF hooker.
Yeah, I don't think there's an obvious answer this week. It's very team dependent. I literally have no idea, like, when you're concerning other teams. For me personally, I've got Tom Starling, and even though I'm not happy with his output, I'm not that happy that he's my hooker number one. He's still going to do a bit of buy coverage and do a job over this period, and I can't really find anyone that I'd be really excited to trade Tom Starling out for. So I think if you're expecting these guys to get above a 55-plus average, I can't see any of them that are the options this week that are going to get there. So I don't have any problem with nothing. I don't have any problem with taking the AE this week. If you've really flush with cash and you're okay for the buys, if you've done some planning and you sort of got enough cash to spare, I don't mind holding Connor this week, playing him against the Bulldogs next week, confirming he plays Origin, and then trading him in round 12.
Yeah, I'm on the same boat as you. I've got Starling and Sandin. Starling could be a hold all the way through to sort of the later buy rounds. You would never have to play him. He's not really a big AE issue. He got 42 on the weekend, which was nice. He actually ended up being my AE on the loop. I think Sandin is going to be a fine hold through this period. Like he plays all the major buy rounds, all the mini buy rounds. He misses 14. I think you're right. Like if you can avoid making a traded hooker this week, avoid it. The options just aren't there. Riley Smith has issues. Hands is back in the reserves. Lussig is back next week. Also, Riley hasn't really shown that his Supercoach output is anywhere near. Like, I just don't see the point in Riley Smith. He's not going to make bulk cash. We spoke about Jazz. Wade Egan has issues now with Sam Healy on the bench at the Warriors. He's not going to get that 80-minute role, and he needs 80, I think. Like, 65 minutes is all well and good. He's going to average okay, but we're just not, like, really looking for mid-range hookers at this time of year, Dan.
No, and I think there's just no obvious clear-cut option at the moment. I think people are going to be stuck with Mamouzelis, and he is probably going to be a trade-out. And you could go this week, but the only reason I would trade him out this week is he's probably, if I'm going to free up cash, and at his price in the 400,000s, it's really tough to free up cash unless you're going down to the dual Nuff. So I would go the dual Nuff, even if I have Sandin Smith as my second. I'd take the AE at hooker this week, and then I'd probably look at options for possibly next week or the week after for the buy. I know some of those Dolphin boys are going to be available for that period. Max Plath might be back potentially.
Yep.
So I think you just with those extra couple of weeks, 1 or 2 weeks of information, I think that's going to go a long way at the hooker spot.
Yep, I agree. Just on Nuffs generally there, I think so I've got two Nuffs already. And obviously we're going to run into buys as well soon, but I think two Nuffs is if you've got less than two Nuffs, so 1 or 0, I think definitely go to going. Like he's going to be a really useful Nuff for you. If you have already got two Nuffs, I think it's a little bit of a different decision. I think that you maybe want to give it a week, like you said, just to get you through this little period and then you can make a call. All right, Dan, let's move down to the center wing now. And plenty of questions at center wing, big moving week for center wings going out. Obviously, Jackson Purdue, very highly sold. Pete on X asks, please rank these four trading opportunities in priority. Garrick, Karaz, Hines, and Herbie. He's thrown Hines into that mix as well. And he is a head-to-head player.
Garrick, Karaz, Hines, and Herbie.
Yeah.
I feel they're all essential, so you need them at some stage. In terms of this week, I would say Karaz is the most pressing, given his low break-even. He could go back-to-back. We know he's with that 150 in his roller for 2 weeks, he's probably going to be over 800K by the time round 12 comes along. Now, there is the Origin chance. I still think it's worth the punt to get him in your side for the next two, just because if you don't, you're going to miss it. Round 12 is going to be much harder to get him. I feel like, you know, they're all roughly about the same price, I think. Both they're all basing around the same. If you include Garrick's base to go up with his goal kicking, I think those three center wings. If you don't have Nico Hines, definitely big option to get 663K. I think that's an absolute steal for him. So for the center wings, I'd say Karaz is the main one. And then if you don't have Hines, I'd say get Hines.
I think for a head-to-head player, obviously, traditionally, the major buy rounds aren't as important for those players. Interestingly, the players he has mentioned, though, all have very good buy coverage. So Karaz actually misses round 13 and round 16, I believe. The Dogs don't play. So that's actually not ideal for head-to-head. But I think, as you say, he's got that BE of 35. His price is only going north. Like, it's hard to see him averaging anything under 70 from here. So I'd say Karad's definitely the most important. Garrick has a B of 93. Tricky-ish matchup against Sharks at home. I suppose he could go low there. So I think if you don't own Garrick yet, you could probably wait a week. Herbie is a great option. He's got a B of 90, but I'm myself bringing Herbie in this week, and yeah, Nico, obviously a great trade in for the buy period. He certainly looks back to his best. Husey FPL on X asks, I'm doing Purdue to Sharp, which will leave me with four Knights, KP, Marju, Lucas, and Sharp. Is that too much from one team considering their form lately? Magic round aside, he caveats that with KP will become a trade out origin time. Good question, Dan, and very pertinent. The Knights have been awful up until last week where they ran into a depleted Souths outfit. And to be fair, they probably could have put 50 or 60 on them and they only put 30 on them. Sharp looked fantastic. KP looked back. I own those four Knights he mentioned already. I'm not especially going out of my way to bring a fifth in, but I do think that five is viable. What's your view on that?
Yeah, look, you have four. C-Mac has four.
I've got Cant as well.
You do have five, but you'd expect at the moment it's not looking like he's going to make that team there. Usually I'm a big team balance guy. I like to spread it because I don't think everyone can get the points, particularly attackers. It all comes down to this year, Knights and their bye schedule. And the fact you only get 13 in those buys and you really want these high ceiling guys. And I think those four you suggested are all big ceiling guys. They all got great buy schedule. You can definitely have all those four guys. Five, that's really where it gets tricky. If I said, who do you want as your fifth from Knights, I'd probably say it leaned towards Bradman Best. But then you're really, really in trouble because, they haven't shown great form. They might stink it up next couple. You've got five attackers from the same team. I don't like that as much, but certainly four is okay.
The thing with these guys is that so Knights don't miss a game now until round 19. So they play all three majors and two of the minor bye rounds. They don't play 19. The thing about all these options that he's mentioned is their base plus power is so strong. And we talk about base plus power a lot on the SC Ballers. And what that gives you is the floor. So then, win, lose, or draw, these guys are going to get okay scores. And then if they do go on a great run, that gives them the platform, the potential to go up to that sort of, more 80, 90, 100 average over a few weeks. I think that my biggest concern with overstacking on Knights is just that you're going to have to trade a lot out very quickly for that round 19. So I wouldn't have anything to go against bringing in the likes of Bradman Best. I think his price is really appealing, 617K. Even Kai Pierce-Paul, he's got a base plus power of average of 58 this season. He's less likely to get the attack, but he has had some creative stats, some try assists, line break assists. So, I think you need four at a minimum, to be honest, and then it's the call to get the fifth one. The big, big thing is just this coverage. Like, they play every game. So, like, you never need to worry about them turning up. And it's just – that's just not something that every team has. Like, all these rounds through the buys are going to be tricky this year. And I think a lot of people are running low on trades as well. So, they're just guys you can set and forget through to round 18. Then in round 19 – You are going to have to probably start trading a few out, two at a time, and you've got to make sure your squad balance leading into that sort of 15, 16, 17 is okay. So, I'm not even too worried about their form as well because their run, the fixture is so strong. They've got a really, really generous fixture. So, should be pretty easy, I think, for them to get some decent scores. KP, finally, Dan, he would be a trade out come round 12 if he makes Origin.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's probably taking up a valuables position there that you want a fullback spot. I think most people are going to hold Pappenhausen over that period. So he's already taking up a fullback spot that's not playing in the major bye rounds. So you probably want to make that work for at least for the first bye round. I'd probably say Pappenhausen and Drinkwater and Teddy are essential. So yeah, I'd be moving on KP.
Yep. Glenn on X asked Dan a couple of questions here on Tommy Jenkins. Jenkins has been named in the 17 jersey. I'm worried about him pumping out a 6 or a 7 and killing his cash generation. Is it time to trade? And then Tom on Instagram also asked, surely Garner and Jennings are a game day swap. First of all, Dan, do you want to comment just around like Jenkins and his cash generation and what you should be doing with Jenkins if he remains on the bench this week?
Yeah, so I would not be moving Jenkins on. I think he will be a really good option for the round 12 bye to have in your side. I'm not too worried about his – I wouldn't be too worried about his cash generation. He's got to break even a 1 this week. Even if he does get a 1, maybe causes a bit of an AE problem for you if you're trying to loop. But and then he's probably going to bleed a bit of cash next week. But who's not to say he's back in the starting side next week? Who's not to say he's back in the starting side this weekend? I think there's too much up in the air right now. I would definitely hold him, and he's a kind of guy that could bink a 100-plus score in that round 12 for you. So I would be really pissed off if I was trading him out. He goes 100 in that round 12, and whoever I brought in gets a HIA or gets a, you know, subpar score for that week. So he's a definite hold for me. I wouldn't worry about the cash at all.
Yeah, I don't think it's a cash generation issue whatsoever. Even if he goes 10-10 the next 2 weeks, I'd be holding for round 12. If he does go 10-10, he'll have a break-even of 126 in round 12. And then he scores a 60 in round 12 when he's starting, then he'll only drop to 400K anyway, at which point you've still made 200K on him. And he's got a 60 in round 12. So, yeah, I'm a very strong advocate to hold on Jenkins. Hopefully... To Tom's question that Garner and Jenkins are a swap on game day, that's obviously the best outcome for owners. I think that Garner might stay at center, to be honest. Like they look better with him there in his defense. Garner's actually a sneaky option, Dan, next week, I think. Sort of 350K, he's going to get dual 2RF center. If he can hold center for the bye period, that's going to be very interesting. I think next you can have a look at him this week, and then I think he'll be on everyone's radar next week.
Yeah. Let's wait and see. I wouldn't be taking a leap of faith on Garner at the moment.
Definitely not this week. Given that. Definitely not this week. Yeah.
We spoke about a pre-pod as well. It's not the time for smoky mid-rangers right now coming into the bye period. And I don't think he has a huge ceiling as well. Yes, he can go sort of 90, but he's not one of those guys that maybe is I'd say he's more likely to get a 40-50 in those bye rounds than he is to get the 80 pluses. Yep. So
he can also get dropped at any point.
Exactly. So yeah, good to mention him, Matty.
Jewel is the big thing there. Like the flip Jewel. Up and down set. Jewel.
You know I like a Jewel. Anyway.
I do. Shabs on X asks, looking for a downgrade at center wing this week under 590K. Presume that's from Purdue. Not many options standing out, but I'm eyeing Asako or Fiolongo. Thoughts, lads? And then the rookie gold prospector also asked thoughts on Schiller, who's obviously in that range as well and related to the Newcastle Knights conversation. Maybe let's start there with Schiller, Dan. Quick thoughts on Schiller.
Schiller doesn't have the extra stat padding that the other Knights attackers do. I think he's much more reliant on the attack. So he can't, you know, he's not a Greg Marju who's going to smash out a massive amount of tackle busts. He's not Fletcher Sharp, who's basically the same in that respect. He's not a base man. He's a try scorer. So I also think
he's also got Dom Young. Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely avoiding Schiller. There's no reason to go there. I think you can take a flyer on Asako. It feels like a move that I would do if I was ranked 25,000 and just wanted to make some pod plays. Because I feel Asako, particularly this week against Parramatta, a couple tries, 120, get the cash rolling, plays the good buys. You know, there's a guy there that can potentially hit a good ceiling for those buy rounds. He's done it in the past. So if I was up there with the ranks, it's probably a little bit off template at the moment. I wouldn't go there, but certainly to make some moves, I'd look at Asako pod. I know you're pretty keen on Fiolongo. Yourself?
Yeah, look, I know Howarth is injured. Moses Leo's gone for ages. And there's really no sign of Warbrick. I'm hoping that Warbrick's okay. I don't think Sua is ahead of Grant Anderson either. So I think if there is someone to come back at centre, Grant Anderson will go back to that wing spot for Sua. I'm kind of similar to you. If you're looking for a pod play with upside, Sua has gone, he's only played 120 minutes. He had that concussion against the Bunnies, so he played 40 minutes, and he's gone 80 against Canberra. In that 120 minutes, he's had 18 tackle breaks. So he's busting tackles at will, it seems. We know he's got that flair for scoring a try and setting up a try. Incredible try assist for Pappenhausen on the weekend. My kids love him. They call him the electric guy. Not bothering learning his name yet, just the electric guy. But he's an insane player. I think he's good value, 527K. The baller projections actually have him averaging over 70 if he stays in the team. So they love the model loves his tackle busting. And he's got quite a good work rate as well. So, yeah, I think that Failongo, if you really want a punt, just beware that it's obviously comes with a high amount of risk. Dan, the other one, maybe Selwyn Cobbo, 472K. He's got fullback for the Bronx at the moment.
Yeah, I brought him up with you boys on the WhatsApp group, and very interesting. It's a very short-term play. I think I would definitely be going there if Reece Walsh wasn't available until round 15, round 16. I would love to get four rounds out of Selwyn Cobbo at fullback. But most likely outcome is you get two rounds. Probably not enough cash gen. Huge game this weekend. Like, I would be, you know, not surprised if he goes 100-plus quite easily against the Bunnies this week. And he's going to make cash over the next 2 weeks, but huge risk that he just goes back to the wing. And, you know, maybe
but that's he does not the think, end of the world. That's no, not the no, end of the world.
It's not. It's not. But, you know, he's also not a number for round 12, and I don't know the it's kind of planned out at the moment. I think you need nearly six, if not seven, center wings playing in that round 12. So that's how my team's set up anyway. I'm a little bit concerned with Reece Walsh there. So look, I don't mind him as an absolute flyer as well.
He's cheap enough, 472. So I think that's the key there. And he looked great. I thought owners got unlucky last week with 75. Could have easily been 100, 120. I thought so. In a badly beaten side, so he'd be the other pod pick there, I think. Grind and Gamble on Twitter on X asks, I've seen absolutely no talk of KO Weeks despite three good scores from his last four. Good buy coverage and an upcoming Titans matchup. Is he a genuine trade in, or am I Jaden Sewering my trades this week? I think that's a good reference to Jaden Sewer knocking the ball on over the line on the weekend, Dan. KO Weeks has never, ever been one of mine, and he was a flop to start the season. Canberra have been winning games as well, which is kind of a sort of an underappreciated thing when we look at Supercoach scores. They've got a tough matchup against the Dogs. He mentioned they've got the Titans. I just think Weeks' floor is way too low.
Yeah, I agree. He's had a couple of tries the last couple of weeks for some decent scores. Surprisingly big base output on the weekend, 35 in pure base. It's just way too low, his base, in usual. I think he's probably averaging around the 25 in base. For a fullback, that's quite low. And he's just not creating as much. I think the halfback there, Jamal Fogarty, he's doing a lot of the work in terms of the creating there. So, look, he's had way too many low scores. If you're putting him at fullback, definitely not. If you're looking for a downgrade at 5'8", 485,000, I think wait a week and look for the King Tongia as your second 5'8", because I definitely wouldn't be running him as my first 5'8" throughout the bye period even.
And then if he's your second 5'8", you're never playing him ever. So exactly. I just don't really see the point in KO Weeks, Grind and Gamble. All right. The next question comes from Jake on Instagram, and he says that he has a pretty well-balanced squad. He's sitting around 500th overall. Well done, mate. He went pod a few weeks back with Dylan Edwards. His other fullbacks are Teddy and Pappenhausen. Should I shift to Sharp, Ponga, or Drinky? That's a bit of a unusual situation, Dan. Very tricky question. Where would you be looking this week at fullback?
First of all, unbelievable job being top 500 and carrying Edwards, not having some of those high guys.
Edwards had that one good score.
Yeah. I mean, did he pod play for that round or did he get him afterwards?
I presume he must have.
Yeah. I don't know. He's doing well.
For 134. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel out of those three, I wouldn't go Ponga. I think you miss a boat. I think last week was the time to go Ponga.
Yeah.
I would go Drinky or Sharp. For me, that's my conundrum this week. I can actually afford to go Drinky, but I'm taking Sharp over him purely because I think Sharp is just an absolute jet. And
plays
round
12.
Like he plays round 12, Drinky doesn't. I do have plans to pick up Drinky in round 13. And if he's at 900K, he's at 900K. Like I'm just going to suck that up. I'm really hoping to take him on this week with the Panthers. I hope they really play a great defensive game this week and hold him to a 50 and then holding on for dear life that he goes sub 80 next week. That's what I'm hoping for. But, you know, we know with Drinky, we've seen it. He can go bang, bang, double 100, got the goal kicking. But I'd probably say I'd lead towards Sharp as the priority there.
I'd probably agree with that. Ponga is punty, but I think Sharp, you're going to want Sharp in your team. I think he's the purchase. If you own Sharp already in that scenario, I think you'd probably look at Ponga for a 2-week play. There are still, like, I don't think, like, Ponga's locked into Origin fullback either. Like, one, Walsh could just pop up out of nowhere and be back early in time. And two, like, Billy's shown that he's all about culture. And there are, like, murmurs around Ponga and his ongoing commitment to Rugby League and Queensland Rugby League with, you know, All Black speculation. So there is a chance Ponga turns up in 12 for the Knights. So
I don't think Ponga will rule himself out until he doesn't get selected. So correct. I think he's in. Until he doesn't get selected, he won't rule himself out. So yeah, maybe Billy's remembering that as well, and we'll see. But I still think Drinky is a good purchase this week if you can afford it. And you've got some other plans around fullback, some big boys there for the bye period as well.
I agree. Drinky's just the ultimate, like, in Supercoach with the goal kicking. Like, I think that has actually really forgotten over the last few weeks. Like, that just lifts his floor, and he's already had a great floor. So, yeah, love the drink. Love having him in my team. Dan Rodney on Facebook, big fan of the show. Love Rodney. He says, is Preston a sell to Tarpany? It would mean shifting Tino to 2RF and roll with the usual suspects at front row forward. Good question. Preston obviously is a sell out for 4 weeks and he'll miss other games around buys as well there. Joey Taps, Dan, he's pretty interesting. He's 720K. He got a lot of attack to start the year. And I think his minutes were inflated last week.
Yeah, a little bit inflated with the golden point, I believe. And look, he's the kind of guy that is great to have in your side. He just churns out that base massively, offloads this year. He looks really good. At 720K, I just feel the ceiling isn't there. Like, he got a try and an assist this year and he just got 100, you know, whereas some of those other front row forwards, they get a try, they go on 110, 120 with one attacking stat. So I just feel he's not that ultra premium. I don't mind him if you've got the cash, but I'd probably look to go down to some of the other second row forwards on the menu this week. So the likes of Ola Kawatu, Brenton Nikara, even Keon Koloamatangi, but I'd probably wait a week to see what his new role is. But yeah, probably looking at one of those guys and maybe looking at an upgrade in your centre wing for the round 12 bye.
I've got some pretty firm views on front row forward is that you don't actually want to be purchasing there. Now that AFB's got a bit of an injury niggle, I think you can really wait until round 12 to see what you want to do at front row, but even round 13 to see if these big boys like Haas, Tino and Terrell May back up from Origin, assuming they all make it. Like Tarpany might be cheaper come then. He might be more like, you know, you have to get him. I just think you can wait and see, get the information. Like, everyone's got Terrell May and Payne Haas just absolutely crushing it, and then Tino as well crushing it. Yeah. I just don't really see the need right at this stage. So I'd be holding, definitely looking for these upside 2RFs, Dylan Lucas, Hamoli Olakau'atu, Eli Katoa, Britton Nikara, all great buys. I don't know if I'd be looking at Keon just yet, but yeah, there's some really good purchases.
But
you
brought it up. Adam Fanua Blake is 650K break even in the 80s this week. A bit of an injury niggle going on at the moment. if he gets anywhere close to 600K, I am going to swoop massively. Like, he's having a down year this year and he's averaging 68. Like,
yeah.
That, you know, if he bumps his minutes up to 55 or 60, and we know he can get over the try line, he plays the first two major buys, he is nearly essential if he is at 600K come into round 12.
Yep, he had that little niggle. His minutes were down last week. We actually sat behind him as he was off the back fence against the Eels. My God, he is a thick man.
So thick.
Through the hips. Our last question comes from Greg on the SC Ballers League on the Supercoach app. He asked, boys, Munster to Hines and Yongi to Sharp, or hold Yongi and trade Wong to ECAT? I've got to unpack that a bit. Hines and Yongi to Sharp, or hold Yongi and trade Wong to Ellie Cat?
Can we do it one at a time? Can we do it one at a time there?
Yeah, let's do one at a time. Yongi, Danny's got to go.
Does he have to go this week? Against the Dolphins?
If you don't have Sharp?
What's Yongi's break even? That's the question.
Sorry, I wouldn't be trading Munster to Hines this week.
Well, that's the first one I thought you were going to go with. Definitely not trading Munster. Definitely not trading Munster this week. Give him one more week. He could go absolutely berserk, have an absolute rev up on the weekend after getting beat. Two losses in the last three, going back to Amy Park, playing the Tigers. Big point to prove. Munster is going to be fired up. I don't think he's any chance of missing Origin, but certainly probably just wants to stamp his authority there. So I would be holding him. But at the same time, doing anything you can. You can probably wait a week on Hines, but he's still at a great price. Yongi's got a break-even of 29. Playing the Dolphins, I really like him. I started the year with him. I think he's got great talents. I think you could wait a week and hope for a lower limb injury from from Fletcher Sharp. Hope he doesn't go big, but I don't. I think you could match him this week, and then you've got a decision make the week after. So I think there is a chance you can hold Yongi.
Yeah, okay. And Wong to ECAT, I like that trade. I think.
I don't know. I was looking at Wong, and he's going to be quite handy.
I know he's good.
The bye periods, like 80-minute front rower for a player who plays all the essential major and mini bye period games.
They play all of them. Having Roosters is good. You just can't have too many because they have bye in 10 and 14.
Yeah. I get everyone's point. They're all looking to premium up their team. They're looking to really solidify those last couple of spots, you know, those 16th, 17th mans or 15th mans turning into, you know, premium guys. All good options that you mentioned. I think ECAT's a great purchase. He looked good on the weekend. I brought him in last week over Fletcher Sharp. Didn't work out that well, even though I was promoting Fletcher Sharp as the buy of the round. Just for my team balance, it worked well. And I'm very happy to have him in my side. So, yeah, they're all good moves. I just think you could also wait if you're a bit stuck.
Wong's underlying stats are great. He just can't, like, Savala's hurt him a bit, where Chad was feeding him a lot of ball quickly and early. That's a bit of a tricky one. All right, Dan, that sees out for questions. What are your trades this week?
So, yeah, going big, using my last boost currently, getting the Origin boys out, getting Connor Watson out, getting Corey Horsburgh out, and I'm actually nothing. So bringing back the first person to come back into my side after being traded out, Miles Martin. Big shout out to the dual front row forward, second row forward. That's giving me the cash to go up to Fletcher Sharp and Hamole Oluokuatu. And I'm actually banking a little bit of side bank, which is very unlike me, but I've done the calculations for the next few rounds. I want Ponga up to Teddy in round 12. Yep. So I'm holding that cash for the one trade in round 12. Probably big decision next week. What do you do with Cleary? I'm not sure at this stage, but I guess we'll find out after this week.
That's next week's headache. I'm trading out. I'm out of boost. So I used my last boost on Gutho to Ponga last week at Magic Round, which was a lot of fun.
Very nice.
And it's worked out a treat. So I'm trading out currently. So I've got 446K in the bank leading into this week. I'm trading out Jackson Purdue to Herbie Farnworth. So, and it's only cost me about 90K. So that felt nice.
Yep.
And then I am trading out Connor Watson to Ellie Katoa. So that really stiffens up my 2RF. It leaves me, Dan, with 308K in the bank for round 12, like you mentioned. I'm also looking potentially at Ponga up to Teddy. And there's also like guys like Olakau'atu, who I think is a great purchase this week. I think he will likely miss Origin, but I think for me and my team, I like Ellie Katoa, and then I'm looking to pick up Olakau'atu round 12 as well. With that draw that Manly have, I think they're the big targets for me come that week. But hopefully looking to hold trades next week. Currently planning on holding Cleary and Munster. Everyone, I think a lot will be going Munster to LKT next week. So I think a bit of a pod hold for me on those two guys, and I'm looking to start banking a few trades into the buy round. I think my team is set up for the buys. So, very excited to bring in Herbie and Ecat, two big upgrades this week. Just on Jackson Purdue quickly, I think he is a sell if you want to and it suits your team. But there is also nothing wrong with holding Purdue. The Cows have a good run through the buys. My issue, Dan, is just that he's a bit going to always be a bit of a sit-start conundrum.
Yeah, I think he's an easy sell. Like, I just feel he's going to be, again, taking up a spot for that round 12 where you might be able to get a good premium guy who goes large. So I think he's an easy sell. Who's to say maybe he has a couple of lowly scores the next couple of weeks and he gets down to that 500K and then maybe you're picking him up. Don't know. We'll see.
Yep.
But just probably to mention as well, like we're mentioning all these different trade options, I feel this is the first week that you actually have to look two or three weeks in advance on your trades because you really need to set yourself up. Look at the numbers for round 12 that you've got. Look at the cash that you may need for the prospective people that you want to bring in. So me and yourself looking at Teddy round 12, we know we're going to need about 300 grand to go up from Ponga to Teddy. You've got to start looking at the cash and your prospective trades for those couple of weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. And then looking at numbers for 12, 13, and beyond to see how covered you are.
Quick question, Matty. How many rounds have you gone trade prospecting at the moment?
I'm up to round 15. So I haven't got to 16 yet, but I have heard that's quite a tricky round. So I'm only up to 15. Oh, sorry, I've done 12, 15, and 18 just on my numbers. Ooh, so looking at making sure I've got enough for those rounds. But I do have players in that who are going to be playing, but it won't be my team. Like Billy, there's absolutely no danger Billy Smith's in my team come round 18, or round 15 more than likely. So, it's going to be an exciting little period. Best of luck to all the super coaches out there for the weekend. Dan, thank you for joining me.
Yeah, cheers, Matty. Thank you.
And good luck this weekend. And, good luck to everyone out there and enjoy your NRL. Cheers, guys.